Sinon, verset ce chien, vous trouvez ça grave. Char Hesh Ben Anefesh, Père Gimel, ou une histoire à Hesh Ben Ashishi. Ok. So, let's skip any preamble. Let's see what is this next perspective that the Chavos HaLevavos wants us to integrate. Hashishi, she'achshoiv b'nafshoi, a person should think, shumargish b'midoisav she'noitos lahamreis habayle, a person should think when he feels his tendencies, his instincts, his midas, leaning toward defying Hashem, disobeying Hashem, as an urge, as a Yetzirah. So you should think the following. Start thinking about kol ma shehisig bechushav, everything that you've taken in, you've seen, observed, mishosha of the workings of the world. Enough of upshuto, devach. Enough of upshuto. Start thinking about everything that you know about the world of nature, all of its different elements, the heavenly bodies, their orbits, plant life, geology, etc. The world of nature is an amazingly precise system which works according to very precise rules, which are essentially the word of Hashem. In other words, when you see the world operating like clockwork, whether you see the orbit of the sun and the moon and the stars, and the balance of the earth between them, or you see the workings of the world of nature around you here on Earth. You see the systems. Or you see your own body at work. You see plant life at work. You see different animals. What you're seeing is Hashem gave various commands. Hashem gave the command, let's say, Tadshe Oretz Deshe, let the world sprout forth plants. And since then, there are so many intricate systems that are obeying Hashem's word to the T, and they're working like clockwork. So the whole world of nature is an amazing demonstration of the word of Hashem being carried out with precision. So, have you ever seen something in the world of nature that decides that I don't want to follow Hashem's command? And decides it's going to defy Hashem's command. It's not going to follow the way Hashem set things up. If we were to imagine what it would look like if some area of nature would decide, I'm going to do a little different today, and not the way Hashem set it up. Benishtana tivoi, would change of its usual nature. Or let's say Earth would decide, why do I have to be precisely in this place the whole time? I'm going to move a little bit to the right, to the left, up, down, a little closer to the sun, a little further from the sun. V'yatzu me'hayam. Or let's say the sea, the balance between the sea and the beach, that would get upset. And you see sometimes small demonstrations of that, right? You have these tidal waves. What if the sea would decide, forget it, I'm not following the laws anymore? So, hahaya adam nisha apnea adama, man couldn't exist. So, there are many, many systems of nature surrounding us that have to work with precise, like clockwork, in order for life to be able to live on earth. And what you're essentially seeing is the command of Hashem playing out. That's what you're seeing. So Rabbi Demille used to say that when you're seeing the pavement, The weed, that sight of the weed breaking through the pavement. Also, anyone from Brooklyn is familiar with it. I know, but very common, the weeds, the dandelions, that the sidewalk goes up, right? That's where you can trip, or and there's a crack, and those stubborn weeds are coming through. So Bava Gedolim used to say, there's where you see the power of the word of Hashem. That is Tadshe Haaretz Desha. The word should the earth should sprout forth grass, and it does it. It'll break through pavement. Now the Adam. So let's say you decide now the point that he's getting at is as follows. Our first really brings this point up beautifully. He says the entire world is an amazing, as we said before, a demonstration of what it looks like, and the word of Hashem is carried out like clockwork. Now, man is supposed to be the cherry on the top, bringing that whole system to its perfection, to its completion, by being that player who is leading the world of nature in simply implementing Hashem's word.
Clearly say that they're following, that these inanimate things follow the word of the Shem, or they could rebel. I don't think
No.
that's really possible.
Right,
I
that's
mean,
right.
if creation, you'll say that's the word of the Shem too. We wanted this one to be deformed, or that, or this. I mean,
That's right.
it's just that a Shem could make the world work a different way, like the seas wouldn't be the seas, and we would just say that's the word of the Shem too.
That's right. That's right. We're certainly working with a form of speech, which I'll refine. And you're right. Here and there'll be mutations which actually serve to show us how much we depend on things operating properly. You're right. Generally, the word Havashem cannot be disobeyed. With Malachim, it's a discussion which I'm not going to get into now. It's a little confusing how that works. But we're talking about the world of nature now. But here's the point. It is the word of Hashem playing out. Now, you're right. I kind of framed it in a way of they're making sure to do it right. No. This is what it looks like. Hashem gave a command. Hashem gave a word, and this is now you're seeing the word just materialize. So what he did with people was that he gave that same word, just that here he actually did provide the ability not to do it right. And where we bring it to its, this is exactly where we become the cherry on the top. Because if we were part of that whole system without the ability to do otherwise like them, we wouldn't be a cherry on the top. We'd be part of the icing,
Right.
right? But the point is that Hashem is saying, this is your place to shine. This is what my word looks like. Look at the orbit. Look at plant life. Look inside your body. This is what the word of Hashem looks like. You, I'm actually giving you the opportunity to choose whether to do it or not to do it. Can you live up to completing that perfect picture of the world by being that cherry on the top, who's following it with the same precision that on the contrary, you're leading the world of nature in showing this is what the world of Hashem looks like. My performance reflects my body's performance, reflects the workings of nature around me, and I am the cherry on the top by doing it of my own, with my own bechira. So here you're right. We are getting a little bit into the discussion of is there actually an element of Bechira going on here? I'll just put this in parentheses. I'll clarify the discussion. A, we have Malachim, and we have conflicting implications as to do Malachim have Bechira? Do they not have Bechira? On the one hand, we know that they don't. It's a very common given. On the other hand, look in the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah where you see described how they're judged, and Hashem doesn't consider them perfect. What's that? That too. But at least that you could say it's part of their built-in function. But if we're coming to discuss, Hashem is going to judge them and they're all quivering, there's certainly an implication of a certain level of choice there, right?
Right.
So the way Rabbi Avigdor Miller laid it down was he said, Malachim do have Bechira, but it's a Bechira of a whole different nature, meaning if I'm facing a fire and it would be convenient if I could just stick my hand through the fire to get something that's on the other side of the fire. would be a more convenient way of getting to it than, I don't know, going to have to go somewhere else. Will I do it? I won't do it. Okay? Nobody here will do it. Nobody normal will do it. Do you have Bechira? You could. Just that you are so familiar, what fire is so clear to you that technically you have Bechira, but practically you don't. Right? So this is how he explained the Malachim. Meaning the Malachim do have Bechira. They do what they do is of their volition, yet their intellect and their clarity is so immense that it's just not relevant. It's not relevant. It's mamish like a person choosing that, you know, it's just more convenient to walk straight through the fire instead of, going around the block. So in this sense, there is Bechira, just that Bechira is almost not relevant, but it can be in certain situations. There can be such a thing as a wrong call here and there, etc. Big discussion. And here, there might be room to talk about that perhaps the workings of nature also, which, as you're pointing out, are essentially subject to the control of Malachim. And maybe there's a certain element of Bechira there too. Okay, I'm putting that in parentheses and now tying it up and putting it back on the shelf. Discussion that's beyond me, but we touched on it. Okay. But the point is that once again, we're meant to look at the workings of nature around us and take from that the model of what is our performance supposed to look like. No, I'll take it a step deeper. I'll take it a step deeper, and we'll say as follows. Hashem created, look at it. It's a pretty impressive world, Hashem's universe, right? It's a pretty impressive business. And there's so much complexity to it, so much going on, and so much power. All that was activated in 10 commands, right? Hashem created the world in 10 commands. Meaning, look at, Hashem said, Yehi Ar, and all the energy involved in light and all the workings of it, et cetera, have ever since been operating with power. Hashem said, you Yikavu HaMayim, right? Let the waters gather. And how do you say it? Topography? Is that how you say it? The shape of the earth? Yeah. All of a sudden, earth moved into the right shape and positioned itself right. And we're benefiting from that until today. Like we said, plant life, right? The command and plant life, it's infinite. Animal life. Each one is world volumes and libraries that are attributed to one command of Hashem. And look at the power of of that word of Hashem. This is 10 commands. 10 commands. The 10 commands of the Bria. Now, Hashem gave us 613 commands. Those commands don't carry any less power or potency, meaning the command of Vishomru b'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos. Keep Shabbos carries no less power than the power of let there be light. The force that that creates, the force that every mitzvah of the Torah creates, isn't any less than what all the forces of Bria create. Just what? Here Hashem said that there's a medium. You're the one to actually activate the switch. You're the one to actually activate the switch. But every time you do, what you're actually unleashing is mamish the koyach of Bria. Just what? You're creating it in other realms. But you're creating a Bria no less immense. And on the contrary, 61.3 times more, at 613 instead of 10, that is actually flowing through you. You are the electricity of it, as it were, if we'll put it that way. So now, he says as follows. We're talking about the broader world, but let's just talk about your own body. Right, the Mesilas Yesharim says, I'll just frame it before we actually read it. The Mesilas Yesharim says that Kala Oimra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron It's really a Gemara, but the Masilas Yesharim has a little bit of a different reading in the Gemara than appears in our Gemaras, common. But anyone who says that Hashem overlooks things, his innards will be overlooked. That's the lashon of the Ramchal, how he reads the Gemara. Meaning sometimes people have a feeling of, Hashem doesn't really care about those details, and Hashem doesn't really care about this, he doesn't really care about that. It was kind of half kidding when he said, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. He meant if you want to, do it. But he overlooks, right? So we're saying if a person has that attitude, Hashem overlooks things, so you say that person's innards will be overlooked. There's a very, very profound point being made. It's a very profound mashal here. Because for saying, Hashem just doesn't really care about the details, it doesn't interest him so much. So one minute, one minute, one minute. Look at your body. Look how precise and detailed the performance has to be in order for you to feel half decent, and in order for you to be on your feet walking around. Let's say one of the systems of your body would decide, oh, come on, did the details really make a difference? Where would you be? What if your nervous system would decide, I'm not so detail oriented. I get the general idea. I'm going to operate in a b'dievet kind of way. I'm not talking about not operating. If one of your systems would decide to operate in a b'dievet kind of way, you'd be in the hospital, chas v'shalom. Right? Still working, right? Life's not in danger, but who knows what is failing. So Hashem says, well, wait a minute, if you think that I don't really care about the detail, so I'll take that attitude. I'll tell your body, it's all right, relax. I'll tell your systems, it's all right, relax. So you skip details here and there, it's fine, whatever. We don't really care about these things. You don't want that, right? You want your body to have an attitude of halacha has to be kept to the T, right? Every mitzvah has to be kept to the T. So Hashem says, look at your body and understand, yes, what do I envision? What do my expectations look like? What is the picture of the performance that I want to see? Do you think I made such a perfect system for you to be doing a very sketchy system of some yes, some not, kind of whatever, however? So here's how the Chiddush HaBavos goes on and says, it's that much more amazing when it comes to the limbs of a person. Ilu Hashem gave them a contract of what they have to be doing for you. You know that in your body, you have armies that are willing to go out and give up their lives for you. White blood cells are living organisms. White blood cells are living organisms. Can you imagine what a person is? This is true. The truth is true also for rodents. But there's armies of millions of living beings who understand, they don't understand, okay, but whose function is they should be killed in order to protect you from infection. Okay, when a person gets if a person, Khalila, gets a cut that gets a little bit infected, so you start to, there's pus there, right? The white liquid. What is that white liquid? I'm not a big maven, I'm saying in a very lay level. Well, what's actually happening is that when those germs intrude, they make their way into the body, you have invaders coming into the body. So the white blood cells that are on patrol, they're busy moving through your bloodstream the whole time. The bloodstream is a whole highway of all kinds of different organisms making their way through your body to where they need to get. So they send out an alarm, and white blood cells come rushing to the scene to battle off the invaders. And there's a battle going on. There's mamash a battle going on. And the pus that you see oozing out of your body are all the white blood cells that gave up your life. They gave up their life in order to defend you. They were killed in battle against the invading germs, and they are now pouring out of the body. Would think of it in that way, right? So this is what the Chavos HaMoed is trying to get us used to, this idea. What happens if the white blood cells would say, Rabbi Yisai, we haven't been paid salary in too long. We're going on strike. So he says, if they would decide, we don't have to keep it, Hashem's command. And let's say organs that are meant to be active will decide to take a rest. Okay? Talk about the epitome of that. Like the heart decides, all right, I've been working for a long time now. Take a break for a half hour. Chas v'shalom, right? Or if those organs that are meant to be active, sorry, of those organs that are meant to be still, decide, I've been sitting quietly for too long, I need to jump around a little bit. This is very relevant. We had this at home. I had a child, Baruch Hashem, he outgrew it, but you know, anaphylactic allergy basically means that a person has an immune system. We just talked about the immune system, right? They have the organisms that are there to battle invaders and threats to the body. We have the immune system is a little too kanoish, right? It's a little too zealous. And it jumps easily at any perceived threat to the extent that it could sometimes start battling against the body itself. So that's why I had a child, drank a little bit of milk, the systems that the milk activated got the immune system nervous. And it could mamash be chas v'shalom. It was mamash dangerous. It was mamash dangerous. So, and what's that? That's a part of the body that's meant to be a little bit calmer and under control that got a little too active, got a little too zealous and energetic. And that could kill. So, okay. Oi, im la hayu magim elav hachushim, ma she nitztav la agya elav. Well, let's say some of the senses would not work well. All your senses are really sending messages to your brain. Your ear hearing things doesn't do much for you. Also, your eye seeing things doesn't do much for you. The whole value of your eye seeing things is if it can then quickly send a message the brain instantly. And then the brain figures out what to do with it. Right? What happens if they wouldn't make their way there? The truth is that it's also like that with everything. Every time you move a hand, if you move a hand, it's because you decided to do it and the brain said, oh, that's what you'd like. I'm going to send a telegram. And the brain gives the order. You don't move your hand. All you do is send a command from the brain and then your hand jumps by itself. That's how it works. But that's why paralysis is not a problem with the hand. Paralysis is a problem with the spinal cord, right? Where the messaging system isn't operating right. So it might messed up. So if the messages wouldn't come through in the way they're supposed to. Hayachibu So the man's composition will fall apart. Hakavasa, your constitution would disintegrate. Wouldn't be able to live life. So if you appreciate quite how dedicated your body is, again, not with Bechira, but what it looks like that Hashem gave the command that your body should be operating and what that looks like, how could you not follow the cue? How can a person have the audacity to defy the contract that Hashem made you sign in the way you're going to use his world, while the contract that the world out there has toward you, it's keeping? Right? The world is keeping its side of the Hashem told the world, I want you supporting this person. Told your body, I want you supporting this person. And told everything in the world, nature around you, I want you supporting this person. And then he told you, and here's how I want you to use that world. So person decides, I don't care about what Hashem said, while at the same time, the world is loyally supporting you because this is what Hashem said. And also, all those direct servants that Hashem commanded to serve you. Again, all your organs. Hashem told all your organs to tolerate everything you impose on them. After we eat a meal, our stomach doesn't have an easy job, right? And we pack it in sometimes. We give our digestive system hard work, and the digestive system can use a break. But you know what? This is what you're imposing on me. I'm going to get to work. Sometimes the digestive system will send protests our way, and it's good. We should take note of those. But by and large, Hashem tells the body, you have to tolerate this person, whatever he imposes on you. And you can use that body in the wrong way. Okay, and he gives a mashal. But we'll move on to the introduce the next cheshbon. Nashvi.
So easy not to keep Hashem's commandments. It really is easy.
It's true. That's true.
But you
The Chaim V'Salavah, she's raising the point that it seems strange that it's so easy to defy Hashem's commandment. So you know what? This is exactly why we're here. Meaning, the Chaim V'Salavah is trying to connect us to the reality that should be obvious, but isn't. It's actually part of the beauty of the Chaim V'Salavah. Part of the beauty of the Chaim V'Salavah is that it's a type of sefer that so many of the things that he says are things that it's not like you learn a different a sefer and he's giving you information that you didn't know before. And okay, if he says so, he says so. But rather, so much of the Chaim V'Salavah is like, oh wow, I never thought of it that way, but that's obvious. That's a major part of the beauty of Chaim V'Salavah. So what he's doing, coming here, is coming and telling us something that hits us like a ton of bricks, but it's like, oh wow, once you put it that way, it should be obvious. Right? That's in line with what he said back at the beginning of the Sefer, that one of the sources of truth in this world is unadulterated thought, right? Unbiased and unadulterated, straight thought. And that's what he's demonstrating for us. Let's introduce the next cheshbon. No. I'm going to stop for a minute because I was just reminded that last week we said something that after the shiur, one of the women commented on, and I said that I was going to come back this week and address it. Last week we said how, if you think about how much of life is actually being used for Hashem's service. And I said for illustrative purposes, if we just knock out all the time you spend sleeping, so your life is cut down by, okay, as the Olim pointed out here, we might like to say that it's a third of our life to sleep. It would be healthier if it was, but let's call it a fifth of our life. But quarter of life gets knocked out with sleeping. Think about all kinds of other technicalities. This knocks off a chunk, that knocks off a chunk. How much time are you really utilizing to get what you want to get? Comes out to a depressingly small percentage of life. So someone commented afterwards, 1 minute, is that actually true? That yes, yeah, sleeping, all that sleep is like a waste of life. So I said that for illustrative purposes only, just in order to bring out the point that you want to know. How much of life are you actually living correctly? But now I do want to come back and say, for non-illustrative purposes, that on the contrary, part of what we're trying to do when we talk about utilizing life, the Ramchal talks about this at length, also, is to be expanding the business of Avodas Hashem, which is utilizing life right. It's filling in those blank checks that we talked about last week. To expanding it to encompass all the areas of life that could be taken as just technical or mundane. To take, the easier examples are, well, let's say eating, right? So eating can either simply be a purely gastronomical activity. Gastronomic, I'm not sure, but you get the idea. So or eating can be part of the program. You're expanding it. You're expanding your life of Avodas Hashem to include eating also. How? If you're sitting and eating and saying, you know why I'm eating? We have a few layers to this. I'm eating because, first of all, Hashem gave me a body and he expects me to take care of it. He said, I give you an office to work in. We see later in the Chavis HaLomah. So he kind of likens the body to the office that Hashem gave you to work in. But Hashem says, listen, I'm giving you this office to do a job. I expect you to maintain it. Well, you're responsible for the upkeep. So therefore, it's like the Rambam says, so he talks about it that taking care of your body is a very important element of Avodas Hashem. Because Hashem says, this is, it's like taking care of tefillin. It's like keeping tefillin well. Hashem says, this is the tool that you need to be using for my service. Don't let it become battered and start not working well. So if you're thinking that when you're eating, you're already doing it in the capacity of your service of Hashem. Problem with that might be that it may actually have implications on what you might want to choose to eat and whatnot, right? If really the purpose of doing it is to upkeep it, so you may have to choose some things instead of other things. But that's number one. I'm doing this in order, I'm eating now in order to have more koyach to serve Hashem, in order to have a body that's going to work better for service of Hashem. That's primarily what my body is here for. And it goes another level, which we've discussed other times plenty. And that is, if you use the food to actually experience Hashem's kindness, to experience Hashem's care for you, to use the good taste to feel Hashem's warmth, to feel his smile to you, to connect to him, then the food can actually be an activity of Ahavas Hashem. When you go to work, okay, so you may say, okay, if I was a Rebbe, a teacher teaching girls Torah, etc., you call that Ruchnius. I'm an accountant. I'm busy with numbers all day. For companies that say, okay, so why are you doing it if it's taka meaningless? Well, I'm doing it because I need to support my family. Oh, that's why. Why do you need to support your family? These are people who Hashem put into your care. He says, here's where your career of chesed is going to be. You think of it in those terms. And besides that, almost every job has its elements of meaning. Meaning, yeah, let's say you're an accountant. You're busy helping people with their records. Now you have to charge for it because otherwise you won't be able to provide that help. But if you think of it in terms of what can I do for my clients? Not just what can I, how can I be yoitzit to be able to collect? But I'm collecting because I need to earn a living. But once I'm getting the money and I'm taken care of, and these next 3 hours are going to be dedicated to accounting, what can I be doing for my clients? I want them to get the best possible service, even if I could get the check without it. This pulls the blanket of Avodas Hashem over these areas also. And sleep is a terrible waste of time if you don't turn it into Avodas Hashem. It's so much time. Again, people are saying that it's not that much time. Okay, fine. But if you approach sleep, Rav Hirsch says that the reason that by in Yiddishkeit it's day follows the night versus or universal mahalach that night follows the day. So he says, our attitude is not, after I put in a hard day's work, I deserve to just plop into bed. Rather, I'd like to keep going, but I'm running out of koyach. I have to go into bed in order to be able to resume my avodah. So therefore, the bed, the sleep, is the means to tomorrow. That's the statement that we're making by saying that no, by us it's night before day. The night is a preparation for the day. And we have the Navi talks about this. So when a person, depending on how a person spends his life, his sleep is accredited to that. Are you sleeping in order to engage in garbage? In which case your sleep is garbage. Or are you sleeping in order to engage in more growth, more chesed, more avodas Hashem? In which case your sleep is also avodas Hashem. So I just wanted to make that clarification, not to leave the way we framed it last week, again, really just for illustrative purposes, that all these technical areas of life don't really count. And Mamela Adarabu, we want to expand it all to include that. Okay, we'll stop here for this week.